Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, January 10th. Home sales. PBBOR, average price rebounds in November. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Permian Basin Board of Realtors reported a rebound in November in the average price of a home sold during the month. The PBBOR showed the average home sold for $355,000, which was higher than the 2019 average, $347,000, higher than November 2018, $318,000, and higher than August through September, when the average price fell to $329,000. Buyers may have to wait for a price normalization. The PBBOR reported other sellers' market tendencies, including a drop in inventory from 569 in October to 523 in November, a decrease in the number of days the average home sold stayed on the market, from 40 to 38, and an increase in the median price for a home sold, from $289,000 to $299,000. The number of homes sold in Midland County fell from 230 in October to 160 in November. Over the last 8 months, there typically was a decrease in the number of homes sold, according to the PBBOR. However, 160 is the third lowest number of homes sold going back 36 months. In November 2018, 204 homes were sold in Midland County. Driving up the average price of a home sold in November was the number of higher-priced homes sold. The PBBOR reported 27 homes priced between $500,000 and $999,000 were sold in November, and two homes were sold for $1 million or more. In October, there were 16 homes sold from between $500,000 and $999,000, and one selling for $1 million. The report also shows the most homes sold in any price range was 35 in the $300,000 to $399,000 range. There were 32 sold in the $250,000 to $299,000 range. The $250,000 to $299,000 price range had the lowest DOM, 25 days. The November report, total on market, 526, sold, 160, days on market, 38, average sold price, $355,000, average list price, $364,000, median sold price, $297,000, median list priced, $299,000. Bond aftermath. Hearing to begin today on MISD bond election. The story was written by Brandy Addison. More than 2 months after Election Day, the bond election contest between Christine Foreman and Dave Joyner and Rick Davis will begin at 8:30 a.m. today in the 142nd Court at the Midland County Courthouse. Mackie K. Hancock of Lubbock, a retired senior justice of the Texas 7th District Court of Appeals, is to preside over the hearing. Foreman and Joyner served as the co-chairs of We Choose Our Future, the Special Purpose Action Committee in support of Midland ISD's $569 million bond. After a new ballot box containing 836 ballots that that were not counted during the November 22nd and 23rd recount was discovered on December 16th, Foreman and Joyner filed a petition to contest the election and requested that all ballots, including those that were missing, be counted manually to determine the, quote, true outcome of the bond election. Brandon Hodges, Kenny K. Murchison, Thomas Wolfmuller, and James Beecham, who serve as representatives from the opposing bond committee, Better Bond for Midland, have intervened in the contest and requested that the election outcome be voided and a new election be ordered, despite comments by Joyner and Davis, who said they believe the manual count would determine the bond election did not pass. Though Hodges has requested that a new election be ordered, he said he hopes that MISD rejects it so this current bond election can end and the district can begin to discuss a new bond proposal that would receive greater community support. Davis, who is being contested against because he is board president, approved the contestant's petition on December 19th and informed the judge that he agreed to a manual recount of all legal ballots. On December 30th, he denied the intervener's stance that, quote, the true outcome of the original election cannot be legally ascertained, end quote. He requested in his answer that the court orders a manual recount and does not void the election outcome. In his answer to the interveners, Davis wrote, quote, contestee accordingly believes that this court can ascertain the true outcome of MISD's bond election through a manual count of all the ballots, including the recently discovered ballots, to ensure that all legal ballots cast in the election are counted. Upon information and belief, to the extent there is any question as to the legality of the newly discovered ballots or any other ballots, any such questions can be resolved by accessing the digital copies of such ballots that are to reside in the voting machines. A manual recount of all ballots would also have the potential benefit of demonstrating that the voting machines correctly tallied all ballots, which, if so proven, would help restore confidence in them for this and future elections, end quote. Davis previously told the Reporter-Telegram he does not expect Mackey to void the outcome, but if that relief was chosen, he personally would not support the granting of a new election, and he expects that this election would end then. If the bond election fails, or a judge orders a new election that is rescinded, a new bond could be back on the ballot as early as November. The current outcome for the bond election is that it passed by 11 votes. MISD posts proposed calendar on website. Midland ISD has published on its website a draft of the 2020-2021 school calendar with an option to provide comments and general feedback. If approved, school would start and end a week later than it has the past 2 years, because Memorial Day is later than usual in 2021. The calendar shows school beginning August 19th and ending May 28th. Graduation dates are set for May 27th and 28th. The proposed calendar includes 5 early release days and 10 holidays, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and 7 student holidays, which include 1 parent conference day and 2 bad weather days, chosen at the district's discretion. Students will also receive 5 days off for Thanksgiving break, 11 school days off for Christmas break, and 5 school days off for spring break. This is the same number of holidays as the current school year. Holidays are Labor Day, September 7th, Columbus Day, October 12th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, January 18th, Thanksgiving break, November 23rd through 27th, Christmas break, December 21st through January 4th, spring break, March 8th through 12th, student holidays, September 14th, October 29th, parent conference day, October 30th, February 1st, February 15th, bad weather day, March 15th, and April 2nd, bad weather day. Early release days, September 25th, November 6th, December 18th, February 12th, and April 1st. State testing days, April 6th through 9th, May 4th through 7th, and May 11th through 14th. Graduation days, May 27th and 28th. Ryan Sitton seeks to bust energy myths. Situation in the Middle East won't significantly impact prices, Railroad Commissioner says at MCRW luncheon. The story was written by Mila McEwen. Railroad Commissioner Ryan Sitton looked to bust some myths as he addressed the Midland County Republican Women's Luncheon on Wednesday. Quote, "Myths dominate our political discourse today, and it's not just energy," he said, speaking in the Midland Country Club ballroom. He cited the myth that the U.S. is running out of oil and needed to find other energy sources, as then-President Jimmy Carter told the nation in 1979 when the Iranian Revolution sent oil prices near $40 a barrel amid public panic about shortages. He said that before the luncheon began, someone asked him what would happen in Midland because of the heightened U.S.-Iranian tensions. Quote, "My answer was, not much," he said. "Thanks to the innovation and the hard work of the people of Midland over the last 10 years, energy prices won't be significantly impacted by conflict in the Middle East. Teachers, nurses around the country don't realize what's happening in your backyard, but they're not paying $4 a gallon for gasoline because Iran struck an Iraqi base housing U.S. military members," he said. The Permian Basin was especially responsible for that muted impact, Sitton said. Quote, "We are so much more independent in energy that what happens overseas won't have much impact here," he said. Another myth Sitton refuted was the myth that oil and gas is bad. "The truth is, oil and gas has lifted people out of poverty, it's feeding people, it's enabling other industries, it's boosting the economy overall," end quote. Following his speech, he discussed the issue of flaring and disputed the notion that the commission automatically approves the extension of flaring permits. Operators must get administrative approval to flare gas because of facility expansions or interruptions, he said. Those permits last 6 months. Flaring has been an incremental challenge, and it has been only in the last year that flaring has been done at its current rate, Sitton said. Quote, "There have been a lot of new projects, a lot of new development, and a lack of pipelines to move that natural gas," he said. "But new natural gas pipelines and the gathering lines that feed into them are nearing completion, and he predicted flaring will decrease as those projects come into service." Quote, "It's a challenge because we have such great new developments," he said. "Ask any producer. No one wants to flare gas. All of us are working on the issue, producers, trade associations, regulators," end quote. Former MISD teacher found not guilty of child abandonment. The story was written by Brandy Addison. A former Midland ISD teacher was found not guilty on two counts of child abandonment Thursday afternoon in the 142nd District Court at the Midland County Courthouse, 15 months after her employer, MISD, pressed charges on her. Megan McMurray says she has an active grievance against the school district and now plans to file suit for a civil case against it. In October 2018, McMurray flew to Kuwait for 5 days to talk to a school about a job opportunity. Her husband, who is a soldier, was previously stationed there but had just been moved to Syria. During her trip, she left her 2 children, a 14-year-old daughter and 12-year-old son, to be cared for by her friends who lived in the same apartment complex, though the children and caregivers agreed the children would stay at their own apartment each night. Her daughter had just begun homeschooling and would remain there during the day as well. McMurray said the MISD Police Department went to the residence and took the daughter to Abel Junior High, which was McMurray's place of work, for questioning. She said her daughter was denied the right to speak to her parents for 4 hours while she was being interrogated by the MISD Police Department. Quote, "They took her from her own home, put her in a cop car, and treated her like a criminal," McMurray said. "Then they paraded her through the front of the school where I was employed and where she wasn't even a student," end quote. She said her daughter has attended counseling ever since because of the stress this experience has caused her. Child Protective Services also met with the daughter at the junior high that day and released her to the neighbors, McMurray said. MISD's police department continued to press criminal charges on McMurray, and in December 2018, McMurray turned herself into the county jail because there was a warrant out for her arrest. She said she spent 19 hours in the jail. She and her lawyers said CPS determined in its investigation that there was no probable cause to determine she is guilty of child abandonment. McMurray was an employee of MISD at the time, but was placed on administrative leave pending investigation. She said she had resigned before the investigation because she was considering the position in Kuwait, but the Human Resources Department allowed her to continue her employment until she decided that she was going to take the job. The jury unanimously approved on both counts that McMurray was not guilty of child abandonment. McMurray thanked the jury. Quote, "I get to have my life back now," she said, with tears in her eyes.
Ashes have waited 30 years to be scattered over Hawaii. Dear Abby for Friday, January 10th. Dear Abby, 30 years ago, a friend of my husband's roommate passed away of AIDS and was cremated. His family had ostracized him. I have no idea who they are or where they are. The roommate left and later died, also from AIDS. He left his friend's ashes in his old room in my husband's house in the San Francisco Bay Area with instructions to scatter them in Hawaii. The ashes have been sitting reverently in a cardboard box on a shelf in our several homes for all these 30 years. We are still together but getting old. There is no paperwork of any kind. All we know about the deceased is his name and the fact that he was a friend. Before I die, I would like to resolve this problem and arrange for the ashes to have a permanent resting place, preferably in Hawaii. I have a nephew who lives on the Big Island where the scattering should take place. How should I proceed in light of the no paperwork problem? Mike in California. Dear Mike, I applaud your caring heart and your determination to carry out this man's last wishes. I took your question to Joshua Slocum, executive director of the Funeral Consumers Alliance, and this is what he told me. There is no impediment to your taking the ashes and placing them where you wish, since there are no relatives who have an interest in them. If you plan to carry them on an airplane, be sure to have them in a scannable container, nothing metal or such heavy earthenware that an X-ray scanner would be prevented from seeing inside. There is no requirement that you carry a death certificate or any other certificate with you. You do not need papers to walk around with an urn or to travel with one. As far as scattering goes, people scatter ashes all the time. Cremated remains are sterile calcium and no threat at all to the environment. While public lands usually discourage or prohibit by rule scattering of ashes, it is common practice that cannot be stopped. Use discretion and care. There is no such thing as ashes police. Dear Abby, I am older and on a fixed income. At times I still date, and I'm not sure how to handle this. After one or two dinners out or glasses of wine, etc., I feel my dates are waiting for me to treat them, and I can't afford it. I don't know how to explain that I don't have enough money to do that. I'm a very giving person, and I would love to make them dinner if I knew them better. One time I brought someone a huge amount of beautiful organic vegetables, but that wasn't enough. He was really upset. I didn't buy him wine on one of the dates. What to do? Really wish I could. Dear Really Wish, the person who was really upset that you didn't buy him wine on one of those dates should have been told that you were on a fixed income and it wasn't within your budget. You should also have told him you were reciprocating within your ability. If he needed a drink that badly, he could have paid for his own. You're lucky to be rid of him. In the future, tell the man you are seeing that after you know him better, you would love to treat him to some home-cooked meals, which might actually be nicer than what you can afford to buy him in a restaurant. He might appreciate both your candor and the food. If he doesn't, I think you'll be lucky to be rid of him, too. P.S. Have you considered paying the tab for a casual breakfast, lunch, or a coffee pastry date instead of dinner? Hello, this is Cindy reading Faith and Philanthropy from the MRT for Friday, January 10th. Benefit Strong hosts benefit to honor shooting victims. On Thursday, Basin Strong will host a benefit concert and dinner at La Hacienda Event Center and the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Country singer Clay Walker and special guest Rick Trevino will headline the Hope and Healing Concert. Proceeds from the show will be donated to the Odessa Community Foundation's August 31st Fund, a 501c3 Odessa-based nonprofit formed by the Odessa Chamber of Commerce to benefit the families of the 7 deceased and 25 injured from the shooting incident last August that occurred throughout Odessa and Midland. Basin Strong is made up of oil and gas industry executives and community leaders with a two-part mission of raising funds for the victims and their families, and per its website, bring a spirit of hope and healing to the area. The event begins with a formal black tie and boots benefit dinner at the Odessa Marriott at 5 p.m. The event will feature silent and live auctions and live entertainment. Sponsorships are still available, starting at $2,500. The concert then follows at La Hacienda, with doors open to the public at 5:30 p.m. Transportation will be provided for benefit dinner guests to the venue. Concert goers can purchase tickets to the concert only for $20 or to a three-course dinner by chuck wagon and the concert for $75 to $150. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit basinstrong.com. Calendar, January 10th through the 16th. Friday, Sacred Scripts, 1,000 Years of Religious Texts. Ellen Newell Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, newellartmuseum.org, on display through February 23rd. Mary and Martha Women's Conference, today and Saturday, True Light Christian Fellowship Church, 3001 North A Street, free. Parents' Night Out, 6 to 9 p.m., Midland YMCA, 800 North Big Spring Street, $10 for members, $20 for non-members, midlandymca.org. Saturday, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 9 a.m., Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue. Free Yoga, 9 a.m., Unitarian Universalist Church of Midland, 3301 Neely Avenue, Bring Matt. Children's Mental Health Awareness Day, 10 a.m., Midland County Public Library Downtown Branch, 301 West Missouri Avenue. Sunday, St. Luke's Chili Cook-Off, 2020, noon, St. Luke's UMC, 3011 West Kansas Avenue. Candlelight Vigil for Peace, 6 p.m., Memorial Garden Park, 4730 East 42nd Street, Odessa. Monday, Gentle Healing Yoga, 5:30 p.m., Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle, free, 575-937-3609. Yoga class for cancer survivors. Tuesday, Permian Basin Buddhists, 7 p.m., Unitarian Universalist Church, 3301 Neely Avenue, meetup.com/Permian-Basin-Buddhists. Flag Support Meeting, 7:30 p.m., Homewood Suites, 7221 Tres Hermanas Boulevard, Odessa. Wednesday, Spring 2020 Session Enrollment, 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center, 1709 West Wall Street. Thursday, Third Thursday Reading Event, 4:30 p.m., George W. Bush Childhood Home, 1412 West Ohio Avenue. Reservations can be made by calling 432-685-1112. Basin Strong Event Concert and Dinner with Clay Walker and Rick Trevino, 7 p.m., La Hacienda Event Center, 12610 State Highway 191, $20 general, $100. BasinStrong.com. La Hacienda Alumni Support Group, 7 p.m., Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff Road, 432-553-7220. Take 3 Concert Benefiting MOSC, 7:30 p.m., Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley Avenue, $45, MOSC.org. MSS Volunteer Opportunities. Every year, the Midland YMCA puts on a friendly, family-friendly dance so families can dress up, dance, and have fun. The Y is asking volunteers to decorate the gym, head its cupcake decorating and refreshment tables and craft area, and help with taking tickets and cleanup. It's a chance to get fancy in comfy shoes and have a great time supporting local families. The event is from 6:30 to 10 p.m. February 8th. The gym will be decorated from 1 to 4 p.m. Sharing Hands, a Respite Experience. Share needs volunteers to assist in the care of special needs youth and their siblings. Support its staff by engaging with children in activities, including games, movies, and crafts. Must pass a short background check. Dinner is provided. Events are held at Crossroads Fellowship in Odessa from 5 to 10 p.m. throughout the year. This volunteer opportunity is family-friendly. Unlock Ministries needs office volunteers to support the administrative team. This is an ideal opportunity for those who enjoy organization and office work. Unlock Ministries is a faith-based mentoring community for kids to help them discover their value and thrive. Unlock helps at-risk students through literacy camps, summer camps, school reading groups, and year-round mentoring groups. Hours vary. Volunteers must be at least 16. Serve at Kaleidoscope Ministries' biweekly Rise After School program. Volunteers play outside, tutor, eat dinner, and facilitate a Bible study for pre-kindergarten to 6th grade students. Volunteers are needed to assist classroom leaders with activities and structure. At Kaleidoscope, leaders work to share the gospel and work in Southeast Midland through mentoring, after-school programming, and community events. Volunteers must be at least 15. The West Texas Recording Library is in need of volunteers to read daily newspapers and other written media. dedicated to improving the lives of people who cannot access the printed word, the Recording Library of West Texas offers audio versions of different forms of media to the visually impaired. From audiobooks and audio version magazines and newspapers and newsletters, we help our community stay connected and better their lives. Volunteers must be over the age of 16 and able to dedicate a minimum of 2 hours a week on your own schedule. Legacy Scholar and SIP hours are available. Obituaries and death notices from the MRT for Friday. Evangelist Marie Hubert passed peacefully from this life on January 4th, surrounded by her loving family. Born October 24, 1961, in Slayton, Texas. Preceded in death by her father, Mr. Ed Conaway, her memory is cherished by her mother, Mrs. Lorraine Conaway, brother W.J. Byrd, sister Ola Draper, son Jeremy Catfish Conaway, and wife Shamira, son Christopher Bibbs and wife Michelle, son Edric Bibbs and wife Sheila, 11 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, January 10th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Homegoing services for Marie will be held at the Midland First Assembly of God Church on Saturday afternoon, January 11th, at 1 p.m. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Jessica Ann Lujan, 40, of Midland, passed away suddenly on Saturday, January 4th, due to an automobile accident in Terrell County. She was born May 19, 1979, in Midland, to Juan Madrid Lujan, Jr. and Christina R. Melendez. Jessica was preceded in death by her grandparents, Rodrigo and Virginia Melendez, and Juan Rodriguez Lujan and Maria Lujan. She is survived by her loving husband, Raimundo Vasquez Ramirez. Her parents, a son, Mikey Gould, a daughter, Chelsea Marie Gould, 2 sisters, Veronica Lujan and Kimberly Lujan, all of Midland, numerous uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, and cousins. Viewing will be held at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. Friday evening. A funeral mass is set for Saturday, January 11th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.heavenlygatefh.com. Cipriana Lucio passed away Thursday, January 9th. Visitation will be held at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home on Friday, January 10th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held on Saturday, January 11th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 11 a.m. Interment will follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Survivors include her daughters, Luz Marie Alexander, Melinda Segura, Cipriana Williamson, Lisa Villa, Petra Lucio, sons Luz Lucio Jr., Leroy Lucio. Hugh Edward Roberts, 69, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, January 8th. Memorial service will be held Sunday, January 12th at 2 p.m. at Fairmont Park Church of Christ. Survivors include daughters Kimberly Amber Johns and Courtney Ann Duvall. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Jesus Portillo, 54, of Midland, passed away January 7th. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 11th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Walter Elliott Burns, Jr., Alec, 86, of Midland, passed away on January 6th in Midland. A funeral service will be held on January 11th at 11 a.m. at Northside Church of Christ in Midland. Brother Rodney Taylor will officiate. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Couple is target of ridicule for their healthy lifestyle. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, we need advice about how to respond to friends and family who poke fun or show disdain because of our healthy lifestyle. We are in our 60s. We rarely eat out, and when we do, we avoid fast food. We cook most of our meals with an emphasis on vegetables, fruits, fish, and chicken. We exercise regularly and have occasional treats. We have no chronic illnesses and aren't on any medications. For some reason, our food choices rub people the wrong way. If we are asked why we are in good health, we answer, over the years we've learned not to consume foods or beverages that make us feel bad. If we're invited out to eat and order the baked salmon with broccoli instead of the burger and fries, we hear, your diet is so boring. We usually laugh and shrug it off, but we don't think our diet is boring. We simply enjoy being healthy and know that food is medicine. Should we continue to keep our mouths shut? Healthy living. Dear Healthy, yep. Your friends and family react the way they do because seeing you eat the way you do makes them feel self-conscious about their own food choices. Continue laughing and shrugging to age 100. The others may not be as fortunate as you. Dear Abby, my girlfriend recently discovered that I am still talking to another girl I used to date. I'll call her Kyra. Kyra and I had agreed we would remain strictly friends, and the breakup was before I started dating my current girlfriend, Jan. Jan is devastated by this, and I can somewhat understand why. She got cheated on multiple times in her last relationship. Do you think I was crossing a boundary by wanting to maintain the friendship with Kyra, or should I have dropped it when I started dating Jan? I'm asking you because everyone I talk to agrees with me, and everyone Jan talks to agrees with her. I assume it's because people agree with whoever is telling the story. You are unbiased, and your opinion would be greatly appreciated. Doing the right thing in Utah. Dear Doing, there's nothing wrong with remaining friends after a breakup. Jan is insecure because her last boyfriend cheated on her, and who can blame her? However, that is your problem and you shouldn't make it yours. Your mistake was not telling Jan when you first started dating that you are still in touch with Kyra and that she's a platonic friend, nothing more. Jan does not have the right to control your friendships and you shouldn't let it happen. Dear Abby, how do you cut off a person who talks constantly without a break? By the time there's a lull in her speech, I have forgotten what I wanted to add to the conversation. Word in Edgewise in Pennsylvania. Dear Word, I have encountered compulsive talkers like her. They are exhausting. Remember, she has to breathe sometime. The minute she starts to inhale, start talking.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Friday, January 10th. Rope and Dreams honors 9-year-old. Boot Barn hosts shopping spree for nonprofit. The story was written by Royal McGregor. About a week ago, 9-year-old Tatum Parker found out she was going shopping at Boot Barn. Her parents, Nikki Parker and Gray Parker, admitted their daughter, who was born with spina bifida from L5 to S1 and cerebral palsy, was eager for Thursday's shopping spree. Quote, she was asking several times a day over the last week if today was the day, Gray Parker said with a smile. She was super excited about it. End quote. Rope and Dreams, a nonprofit children's foundation based out of San Antonio, sponsored the shopping spree as Tatum Parker was this year's Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo honoree. Parker also met a couple of new friends, Miss Rodeo Sandhills Bailey Jankowski and Miss Rodeo Sandhills teen Aubrey Fields, who helped the 9-year-old pick out her new shirt, jacket, boots, cowboy hat, jeans, belt, and scarf, also known as wild rag. Quote, "It was really a neat experience," Nikki Parker said after the shopping spree. Continuing the quote, "She ultimately wants to be a rodeo queen. She just doesn't have the physical capabilities to do all of what they do," end quote. Dub McClister and Cindy McClister, the husband and wife co-founders of Rope and Dreams, were also on hand to help the Parker family. Quote, "We do this to get that family to forget about doctors, to forget about needles, all that stuff, and let that family have a memory of being a family for at least one day or a few hours," Dub McClister said. "They can make memories that Father Time can't take away," end quote. Cindy McClister detailed that Rope and Dreams is 100% volunteer-based. She said Rope and Dreams is similar to Make-A-Wish, as her and her husband's nonprofit organization has helped more than 1,000 families in 18 states during the last 18 years. Rope and Dreams will hold its own Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association rodeo from May 8th to May 9th in Pleasanton. Dub McClister said the nonprofit survives solely on donations. The Sandhill Stock Show and Rodeo honored Tatum Parker during Thursday's performance. Jimmy Lindsay, Vice President of Youth Events for the Sandhill Stock Show and Rodeo, said he had heard about Tatum Parker's condition when he purchased jelly from her mother. Lindsay said he's excited to honor the 9-year-old during Thursday night's rodeo performance. Quote, "There will be some other sponsors and other vendors that are going to bring her T-shirts and caps," Lindsay said. "We are going to shower her with love all day long," end quote. COPD encompasses variety of ailments. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is an umbrella of respiratory ailments from emphysema to chronic asthma and bronchitis. Quote, "When you have continuing infections like that, it causes damage to the lungs, so it kind of gets umbrellaed under the COPD," cardiopulmonary patient educator Sandra Reyes said. Quote, "The number one cause of COPD is smoking. It's pollutants in the air. You can get those from work. There is one genetic piece of COPD," Reyes said. Among the symptoms of COPD are coughing with or without phlegm, wheezing, and shortness of breath. Quote, "There is no cure for it, but it is treatable and preventable," Reyes said. By preventable, Reyes means not smoking, wearing a mask, or having well-ventilated workspaces if you work with pollutants like sawdust. Quote, "A lot of it, too, is respiratory infections. You don't want to get sick all the time, so you need to make sure to get your flu shot and pneumonia vaccine," she said. Reyes says regions of the state are just now starting to keep track of COPD, so there isn't an accurate number of the prevalence statewide. But about 5.4 to 5.5% of the state's population has COPD. Hand hygiene also is important. A pulmonary function test can be conducted to determine what disease under COPD they have and how severe it is. Quote, "That's probably the most important, is getting in and getting that test done, because it will help, too, with the medications. So once you get tested, you get confirmed that you're diagnosed, we can go at that point and prescribe the correct medication that you need. The bad thing about COPD is because of the symptoms, shortness of breath, coughing, a lot of people think it's just aging," Reyes said. Quote, Once you get diagnosed and we put you on the right medication, then we really encourage our patients to do pulmonary rehab. We have that at medical center, she added. There is no cure for COPD, she said. It's a progressive disease. Quote, the more that you take care of yourself, it will progress slowly, Reyes said. If you continue to smoke or keep getting infections or pneumonia, your lungs are going to progressively get worse. Quote, what we try to do with our patients is help them avoid any triggers that will cause them to have an exacerbation. We'll get them on the medications that they need, she said. Screening questions are given to patients to help determine how far the disease has progressed. Quote, they're simple questions like, do you have a cough? Have you felt short of breath? Have you smoked 100 cigarettes in your entire life? If the number's pretty low on the screener, if you're 0 to 4, you're at low risk, and 5 to 10, you're at high risk. We just encourage patients to take the screener to the doctor and say, I need to get tested because I think most of the time the doctors are going to think you might have GERD. That's why you keep coughing, or you might have a touch of asthma or something. They really need to go in and get that test done, Reyes said. GERD stands for gastroesophageal reflux disease, WebMD.com said. You can get COPD from secondhand smoke. Quote, it used to be a man's disease, but now it's a woman's disease. It goes back to cigarette advertising, which was aimed at men in the 40s and 50s, Reyes said. The advertising changed after more women entered the workforce, and now they have COPD. Quote, a lot of them, if they didn't smoke, they were getting it from their husband's secondhand smoke, Reyes said. Flu, colds, and sinus infections can exacerbate COPD, so people with COPD should avoid people with the flu, wash their hands, or use hand sanitizer. Quote, stay away from people that are sick. It's the best thing to do. That's kind of really hard with COPD patients because they're in an older stage of life. At that point in life, they have grandkids. Everybody wants to see the grandkids. If they're sick, I have to tell my patients, you need to stay away from them, Reyes said. These are Odessa American Quick Hits. Discover Odessa has scheduled free hospitality training for the community from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. January 22nd and from 8:30 a.m. to noon January 23rd at the White Pool House, 112 East Murphy Street. Learn how to be Texas-friendly with Melissa Haggins. Space is limited. RSVP is required. To RSVP, call 333-7871 or email carmen@discoverodessa.org. The West Texas Food Bank has scheduled the 20th Anniversary Empty Bowls 2020 from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. January 26th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Entry is $15 per person, and choice of bowl and free soup and tasty treats. For information, call 580-6333 or email info@wtxfoodbank.org. Aphasia Center of West Texas and Concho Resources presents Sail Away to Chocolate Decadence, The Love Boat, A Valentine's Voyage, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. February 7th at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena and Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. There will be decadent chocolate desserts and gourmet savories, cruise ship casino, live and silent auctions, a raffle, photo opportunities at exotic ports of call, and dancing and live entertainment. Kathy Eastham is the 2020 Honoring Aphasia Center Sweetheart. The 1970s formal, casual cruise attire, admired but not required. Go online to purchase or sponsor a table. Go online at bidpal.net/chocolate. This is the medical advice column to your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband is on oxygen and he won't take the mobile tank while he is outside. Will being on oxygen give him longer life? Answer. Many causes of chronic lung disease lead to low oxygen levels. If the resting oxygen level is low, less than 89% oxygen saturation, then oxygen is usually prescribed. Oxygen may also be prescribed for people whose oxygen level drops significantly during exercise and in people with complications of low oxygen levels. There have been several studies looking to see whether oxygen therapy will give people a longer life. Among people with lower oxygen levels, those who were treated with oxygen therapy for most of the day, 18 hours, had a lower risk of dying than people who were treated with oxygen only at nighttime. This study was done specifically in people with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but other studies have confirmed that supplemental oxygen is beneficial for people with low oxygen levels, regardless of the underlying cause. I hope your husband agrees to using oxygen while outside. There are several types of devices to provide supplemental oxygen, some of them very small and portable, with many under 5 pounds. Ticket, Weekend Entertainment Guide for the Permian Basin. The Permian Playhouse's first show of 2020 will be Little Shop of Horrors, February 21st to March 1st. Visit PermianPlayhouse.com for more on the show and the 2020 season at the theater. Shrimp Fest, a benefit for the Ellen Noel Art Museum, is scheduled February 24th at the Ector County Coliseum. Enjoy a Cajun-style celebration with unlimited shrimp, music, and auction. General admission includes food and 2 drink tickets. Sponsor tables are also available. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. The Road to the Rodeo Tour featuring Midland is scheduled February 22nd at Dos Amigos. Visit dosamigos.com for tickets.
City. Man arrested on DWI charge after crashing into ski skeller. From staff reports. A 28-year-old Midland man was being held Wednesday on a driving while intoxicated charge after he crashed his vehicle into the Ski Skeller building on Wadley Avenue, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. Bond for Sante has been set at $500 for the Class B misdemeanor. Midland police and fire departments responded to 3327 West Wadley at about 7 a.m., in reference to a vehicle striking a building. They found a Chevrolet Equinox had crashed into Ski Skeller. The driver, identified as Tay, was found to be intoxicated. Gina Reagan, co-owner of Ski Skeller Sports, said she received a text message alert from the store's alarm company shortly after 7 a.m. She said she called the alarm company and was told a driver had crashed into the store. The driver went through one of the store's windows, she said. They worked Wednesday to board up the window and clean up vehicle fluid that spilled on the store's floor. Reagan said Skeeskiller was closed Wednesday, but she and her husband Scott plan to reopen today. She said it's the busiest time of the year for the ski shop. No one was injured in the accident. Hospital District polling on possible sales tax election. MMH CEO says revenues are needed to help with declining federal reimbursements. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at MRT.com. Midland County Hospital District officials are taking the temperature of the community about another revenue source to help with declining federal reimbursements. Russell Myers, President and Chief Executive Officer of Midland Health, told the Reporter-Telegram this week that the hospital district has commissioned a poll on whether Midland residents would support a quarter-cent increase in the city's sales tax for Midland Memorial Hospital operations. The polling results will be provided to the board so members can decide whether to call an election, which could be as early as May. Currently, taxable items inside the city are taxed at 8%. That means for every dollar something is priced, the sales tax is 8 cents. For every $100, the sales tax is $8. The cap for sales tax inside a city in the state of Texas is 8.25%. A quarter cent inside the city raised more than $15 million last fiscal year. Myers said a May election must be called by February 14th. He said the district is paying for the polling, which is legal if there is not an active election taking place. He said he expects several hundred residents of Midland would be polled. In addition to asking about a potential voter's stance on a quarter cent of sales tax being allotted for the hospital district, the poll asks Midlanders their feelings about certain political figures, the quality and numbers of doctors in Midland, health care providers, specialties, and the hospital's ability to recruit and retain doctors. The poll also asks about certain statements related to the current state of health care in Midland. The poll does not ask about the hospital dividing the available quarter cent with the city of Midland. There were conversations in the past, including with State Representative Tom Craddock, that the hospital district and the city could each ask for an eighth of a cent. The hospital district would use the revenue collected for its financial situation, and the city could use its money for infrastructure. That conversation happened early in the process, Myers said. Obituaries and death notices. Barbara Ann Knight McWilliams died peacefully at her home on January 3rd. Barbara was born in Tucson, Arizona on May 20th, 1931, by her parents, Wallace and Zena Knight. She graduated from Texas Western College, UTEP, in 1950. Barbara married Bill McWilliams on February 14, 1951. She was preceded in death by her husband Bill and is survived by her three sons and their wives, Mike, Toby, and David, nine grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at Grace Presbyterian Church on January 18th at 2 p.m. If you are so inclined, your memorial donations should be directed to Casa de Amigos, your favorite children's charity, or to Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Wanda Franklin, 86, of Midland, passed away January 8th. The family will receive guests from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday, January 12th, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, January 13th, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Survivors include daughters Letha Reynolds and Janie Caldwell.
That's the end of the first hour of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and Odessa American. We'll begin our second hour right after we take a look at weather